Hello, church. This morning's offering is from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, and it says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." I'm sure you've heard this, I'm sure you've read this. It's from this famous love chapter, and I was struck by it earlier on this week when I read it in my quiet time. Just so moved by the idea of, you know, even sometimes our best efforts to serve people and our best efforts to give, even sometimes those things can be misplaced if they're not in the context of really loving what we're doing and why are we doing it. You know, we serve Jesus for a purpose and for a reason, and I was really challenged by that. And so when you give this week, as you are giving, just maybe take a moment to just ask yourself that question, you know, why are you giving, and what's the reason for your giving, and so that it's not just aimless, but that there's real connection to you giving what you're giving, and that there's a real love connection to who you are giving to as well. I just want to bless you and leave you with that. I thank you already for those who have given and who have contributed into the building of the kingdom. I want to pray for the offering this morning and just bless you as you go as well. Father, I want to thank you for what has been received. I want to thank you for what will be given, Lord. And just as we are about to give, and some of us maybe haven't yet, Lord God, may we really be honest and sincere in our hearts about answering that question. Why are we giving? Or why even are we doing what we're doing? And just to be so connected with the fact and the reason for doing all of this is because you showed us love first. And Father, I pray that each and every person will be filled with love and the motivation of love and to love as they are giving, Father God, and as they are doing, even if it's spending time with people, Lord God, may all of that just be part of the motivation, the love motivation in how we spend our journey and our walk with you. In Jesus' name, be blessed, Father, by all of this. We thank you, Lord God, that we can praise you in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. What a privilege it is that you are with us this morning and that you are journeying with us as we go through the book of Acts. This would be the last part. I'm going to speak about the last three chapters of Acts. And I want to thank the other preachers that came out of our congregation and that did such a good job in delving into the Word of God. The last 2 months, we worked through all of the chapters of Acts. Please go and follow us on our YouTube page or channel. And listen to the other chapters. But this morning, I'm really looking forward to what God wants to, in conclusion, say to us. And I want to remind you about why Luke actually wrote Acts. So first of all, I want to say that Luke wrote Acts as a thorough account of the apostles. And he wrote it to Theophilus, that was a Roman soldier probably with rank, at the time, so that he could actually speak about the effect of Christ on his followers and the powerful work of the Holy Spirit through them. And one of the main characters of Acts is then Paul. And this morning I want to actually just share a few things about Paul in the closing chapters as he's now arriving in Rome and it's his final destiny. And we can also see a few powerful things that's happening in his life and through his life at the time. And so let's just pray before we start. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that this morning people will encounter you, that this will not just be a teaching, but it will be a transformation of lives. Father, I pray that your presence will be with us and everyone listening will experience your presence now in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start off not with chapter 28, but rather chapter 8 of Acts, just to bring context, because this one of these main characters, Paul, actually did not start so well on his journey and his life journey. So at this stage, he was still called Saul, and I read verse 1 of chapter 8. And Saul approved of his execution. This was Stephen that died a martyr's death. And there arose on the day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. So let me just remind you how Paul is at this stage in chapter 8 now persecuting Christians, and he's certainly not receiving the revelation of Christ yet. Stephen dies a martyr's death. They took him out of the city because they could not kill him or execute him in the precincts of the temple, and they had to take him out of the city to a place that was actually like a pit, so that the those who were executed could not get out of that pit, but that they could throw down, hail down stones upon them. And so as this was happening on Stephen's life, they actually killed him, but he glued with the presence of, he actually manifested the grace of God even by praying for those who offended him or those who came against him. And this must have stayed in Paul's, in his mind, in his convictions, and later on he actually recognized that that it was always a big thing in his life. And so we go all the way to chapter 26 of Acts, and this is now where Paul himself is, like Stephen, being blamed for blasphemy. The fact that he is saying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he is basically coming against the Jewish customs or the Jewish religion, and they are bringing him before the Roman ruler Festus. And so Paul is now using every opportunity to share the gospel, and so he's telling his life story. And so for us, you know, when we look through Acts, the beautiful thing is that these guys were not theologians, they were not schooled within the Bible. They all just gave an account of what happened in their lives and what Christ did in them and how he transformed them. And this is what Paul was busy doing. He's using this opportunity to actually testify. And in verse 13, he says, "At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me." Verse 14, "And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats.' And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I'm Jesus who you are persecuting. But rise and stand up your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness to the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you.'" Verse 18, "To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." So Paul was now sent to Rome. He was testifying to Festus. Festus said to him, "Listen, it looks like you want to convert me and want me to believe in your God." And he said, "But I cannot find the kind of fault in you that will bring you to execution. So I will rather send you to the courts of Caesar, because you're a Roman citizen, and that was your appeal, to actually stand before Caesar." And so Paul used every opportunity to, because Christ was within him, Christ was everything to him. And he had this unction to talk about the Messiah and to bring the revelation to the people about what happened in his life. And so on his way to Rome, there was this big storm, and we see that the boat actually sunk. Christ told him that that will happen. Paul actually told the whole of the crew that there will be a storm, they will lose the ship, but none of them will die. And now they arrive on the Isle of Malta. And here on the Isle of Malta, they barely, as prisoners, escape the execution because the soldiers wanted to kill them. They were too afraid that they would run off. And so luckily Julius the centurion then stepped in, and we see a beautiful relationship that happened between Paul and Julius. And he saved the life of Julius, and he actually, you know, because of the gratitude of Paul's witness and the power of God working through Paul's life, said that they should not kill the prisoners. And so the Lord used every circumstance in Paul's life for his glory and his effectiveness. And Paul could have been disgruntled. He could have been, you know, cross with God for what happened in his life, but he saw it as an opportunity and used the disaster in his stride, so that he was not grumbling, but he saw it as the providence of God so that he could again serve God in another way. Now, Paul's dream was actually to get to Rome so that he could, in the courts of Rome, actually challenge the high authorities on this amazing truth of Christ. And that was the fulfillment of his calling. That was why God called him. And Paul, you know, could easily have, you know, just grumbled and said to God, but God, why is this happening? Why am I going through the shipwreck? I could have died. But yet Paul was content in God and in every circumstance because he knew that God had a plan. And even here on the Isle of Malta, we see a beautiful thing happen. It says here in verse 4 of chapter 28 now, and here we get to the last chapter, chapter 28. When the native people saw that the creature hanging from his hand, because Paul was then bitten by a snake, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer. Now, Paul was not even accused of being a murderer. But in the eyes of the people, because he was a prisoner, they thought he was a murderer. They thought that he actually deserved to die. And the fact that the snake is biting him is just proof of that. And so it says now, in the rest of verse 4, though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. Verse 5, he, however, shook off the creature in the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell or suddenly fall to death. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. And so now the people here on the Isle of Malta saw him as a god. And he's got this opportunity to use this as a way to share the gospel with them, to actually bring the goodness of God and meet the people on the Isle of Malta where they were at. They did not, at that stage, hear a lot of preaching even. Paul started to heal people all over. And it was his active way of just serving the needs of the people that allowed him to share the gospel. And so this attack of the viper against him was used as another opportunity. And in verse 8 then it says, and it happened that the father of Publius, which was the leader on the island, lay sick with a fever. And Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. They also honored us greatly, and when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. And so he performed these miracles, he preached the word of God, and he brought healing to people's lives. And you know, this is again for me such a beautiful picture of life is truly in the journey, in the voyage. Wherever God is sending us, he's using the opportunity, any obstacles that come our way, either winds, angry seas, crisis, he barely survived, and yet Christ is using this so that he can transform lives. And so the Lord helps us by trying to keep us out of danger, and he steps in when our own or other choices are foolish or careless. And you know, this is the place where you must ask the question, so why would God allow this to happen in Paul's life? I can tell you, Paul had a destiny, and his destiny was Rome, the purpose of God for his life. For each one of us, the purpose, like in Paul's case, Rome, is heaven. The fact that you and I have a plan and purpose that God has destined us that has eternal value for us. And as we are obedient in that, God gives us all opportunities to fulfill and to share his gospel. And so in this, I just love how Paul is making friends. Because in all circumstances, people are turning to Paul and they are actually getting just more and more respect for him. And so even in this whole situation, we see that the respect of Julius is now the centurion is just growing, and he's just giving him more favors and he's protecting him even more so. And when he arrives then at the shores of Naples, we see that he's not immediately taking him to Rome. He allows him to actually first get to the people of Rome, the Christians that was at the time in Italy. And so we see that the respect of Julius for Paul just grew. It just became greater and greater. Because Paul was actually not just speaking into people's lives, but in Julius's life at the time. And so when they got to the shores of Naples, and they were, about to get to Rome, he respected him so much that he allowed him to first meet with the Christians that was gathering in the regions, you know, about 20 and 30 miles from Rome. And Paul even promised this in Romans 15 verse 24. We read about Paul saying that, for I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. And I'm sure that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. So Paul at the time didn't know that he will be a prisoner, but certainly had the expectation to meet the people in Rome. Now, the people that was gathering at this stage was Jews that went as merchants to Rome, and here they became Christians through the hand of Paul previously, and they started to share the gospel, and a community of believers started to develop in Rome. And it's amazing to see how they've received Paul as he came to the seashores. It was almost like a welcoming party, because they had an expectation for him to even minister to them. And so now Paul arrives in Rome. It's only the last 15 verses of Acts that speaks about the account of Paul in Rome. It does not speak about his appearance before Caesar. It does not speak about his sermons that he taught to the Roman courts. But it does speak about a few things. It speaks about that he was delivered to the captain of the guard, that he actually had a private residence, and he also was guarded by a soldier. We know that he met with the leaders of Rome just after 3 days. Now, you would think that after such a journey and opposition that Paul would not want any opposition anymore. But Paul immediately used the opportunity again to share the gospel. And so he confronted them and he spoke about the Messiah. He spoke to the Jewish leaders and he said to them that they must turn from their wicked ways. And some of them actually turned to the believers and became part of the church in Rome. But others turned away. And he then said to them that it's because of your stiff-neckedness. And so the gospel will be preached to the Gentiles because you are not hearing the word of God. Paul used every opportunity. And then for the next 2 years, we don't know what happened in the courts. We just know that he was then released again. For 2 years, he ministered in Rome. And then he again came back to the courts and he was executed. But now, you know, for us, the beauty of it is actually in verse 30 of chapter 28. It says, and he lived there for 2 years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him. A beautiful picture. He welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and with hindrance, or without hindrance. Now, there's a few observations, and I'm ending off this morning, that I want to leave in your heart. And the first one was, Paul was dedicated to life of the cause of Christ, the kingdom of God in his life. Paul's experience of adversity always left him to an opportunity to serve the purposes of God. Paul saw the providence of God as an opportunity, even if it was difficult circumstances, to share the gospel and to trust God to lead him to a place where he could use total advantage of the situation. And so he was shipwrecked, he went through snake bites, he was accused as being a murderer, but he was respected. He was respected for his dedication to Christ, and that people could actually observe that the Holy Spirit was at work in his life and working through him, and great signs and wonders happened in his life. That the things that Paul actually saw in Christ and the way in which he saw those things changed and transformed lives around him. And so every friend that he made on the way was an opportunity to share Christ and to meet their needs. Not even the guards that had to look after him and prevent him to share the gospel could do so. It says that he had free way to actually share the gospel still while being guarded, which only means that Paul converted every person that came his way, that he converted even the soldiers. And they said that some of those soldiers became part of the church in Rome that was supposed to look after him. And so they wanted to change his life, but because they were chained to Paul, they were transformed, and they knew that Paul was chained to somebody else. And for us, this is an amazing lesson. The fact that everyone that encountered Paul had the opportunity to be transformed. So if you wanted your life to be transformed, just make sure to be chained to Paul. The second thing that that we see in Paul's life is his encounters with Christ came out of seeking the truth. And so even his road at Damascus was an opportunity where he was seeking for the truth. He had a desire not to stay the same. He was never satisfied with the status quo. He wanted to get to the truth. And so Christ met him and Christ turned him for the gospel. The third thing was, Paul was prophetically led in everything that he did. And that brings him to a life of excitement, of adventure. Because when you and I start to follow Christ and we start to allow him to transform us, every moment of the day is an adventure. You know, I always say, for us, God is always there. He's always around us. He's always doing things in our lives. Just because we are not spending time with him, we're not observing the things that he's doing. And so when we do spend time with him, when we do have that expectation that Paul had to speak to him, I'm reminded of even the big storm that happened, and still Paul knew what the outcome would be. Paul knew what was the destination of his life, the fact that he had to get to Rome, because he spent time with God. His life was a life of prophetic utterance. There was no ways that he had a boring life. Everything that he did was like a puzzle piece that God created so that his life would fulfill the purposes that God has called him to. You and I have that opportunity as well. And so this morning, I want to appeal to you that there's a life in the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe this morning you listen to this sermon and you realize that you don't have the fullness of the Holy Spirit that is operating in your life. Then I want to pray for you. Maybe this morning you are not experiencing the will of God in your life. Or maybe you are experiencing his will and you hear him often speak to you, but you are not doing what he is saying. A life of obedience, no matter the cost, is what he is calling us to. And you've got the opportunity this morning to, like the people in Acts, like Paul in Acts, use every opportunity to serve him wholeheartedly. That when you hear his voice, to act upon it and to do whatever he's calling you to do. And then maybe some of you this morning just feel that there's not an anointing to share the gospel to everyone around you. Paul did. Paul used every opportunity to speak about the transformation that Christ brought in him. And so my closing message to you this morning is, if you and I have the power of Christ and the relationship with Christ in our lives in such a way that we can't live without him, like Paul did, everyone that is chained to us will experience eternal life, will have the opportunity to be transformed. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for being God in our lives. We thank you for the kingdom and the fact that you brought the kingdom into our lives so that we can share it with others. And this morning we make a choice. We make a choice to, in all circumstances, share what you've done in us. And Father God, we want to draw closer. We want to come so close to you that we cannot but speak about what you have done in us. Father, lead us to action. Father, that those times when you speak to us, when you drop in our spirits things to do, that we will not be disobedient, but that we will see the opportunity and step out of the boat so that you can use us in all circumstances. Father, let us be light bringers in all of our circumstances. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening this morning and sharing with us as we went through Acts. I want to encourage you, if you need any prayer, if you need us to pray with you for some of the things that we've spoken about this morning, please follow the Zoom link and just after the service, and we'll gladly pray with you. Thank you.